Heer God, help ons aanbidding even accepteert. Op dit moment is de tijd aangebroken om naar een seminar te luisteren, om een seminar te houden over divine baptism into Christ. Amen. En degene die ons zal leiden, is onze presiding elder, is ons leiden in deze seminar. Amen. So at this moment I call Elder Jan Peter Boom to lead us in this seminar. Amen. Clap your hands for Jesus.
Should be here today, but many stools are empty. And I learned that it's because of the party yesterday that took long, so people are tired. But I thank God that it is His will that you were here today. So I know that God has something for you today. So pay good attention. This is for you, it's not for me. It's also for me, but it is about baptism and the way to it. And I want to, in this course, I want to put 4 points in your mind. 4 points. And I put them also in the small booklets there. And my topic is today, divine baptism into Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if God permits, I will find your soul today having the sword of His word in my hand, so that I will come direct in your heart with my words. Amen.
Amen.
So the first thing I want to talk about is water baptism is a divine command. So I want to show you that water baptism is not just something, but it is divine command. The second thing I want to talk about is that it is being a divine command, it ought to be kept and observed. And three, encouragement to keep it. The encouragement to keep it. And four, count your costs and consider your war. Consider your war. So first, we will read the Bible a lot. So if you have a Bible not with you, go and take a Bible. Or open your phone, because we will read a lot. I like to have paper in front of me, because when you read it from your telephone, you scroll it and it is gone. But if you have it on paper, you can see, okay, you put your finger there, and you can hold it and you can read it again. So it is good to know it. The same like if you're learning, you write it. That is the way. So the teacher is teaching something on the plate and you write it on in a notebook. That is also helping you to, because you wrote it yourself, that you also learned. So please, have a Bible, and if you have your own Bible, take a pen and just write in it. My whole Bible is full with notes, full with it, and that is marvelous. Amen. So let us go. First, I want to show you that the baptism, the water baptism, is a command of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and it is a divine command. So let us read John 1, verse 6. John 1, verse 6. Go there. John 1, verse 6. And it is only one verse. So it says, there was a man sent from God, oh hallelujah,
amen,
whose name was John. About which John is he speaking about? John the Baptist. And he was sent by who? By God. This is what it says. So, okay. Go to John 1, verse 33. John 1, 33. I read the English. Read with me, yeah. And I knew him not. This is John speaking about Jesus. that he gets a revelation from God, and I want you to pay good attention to what he says. And I knew him not, but he that had sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remain on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So what is he saying here? The same that said to me, go and baptize with water. So here, John himself says he gets a command from God. He hears this voice of God. And the voice said, go into the world and preach repentance and baptize with water. That is what it says. He said, the same who told me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is telling that it is a divine command from God. And also, Jesus, in what he did, showed that it is divine, because he agreed to it, but he also submitted it to it. Because when Jesus came to John the Baptist, he also committed himself to this baptism by doing it. So we have here the surety that it is divine. But there is another thing, that there were people in that time that went to John the Baptist, and they were Pharisees and Sadducees, and they wanted to know who he was. They said, are you the Jesus? I said, I'm not the Jesus, the one that comes after me, which shoelaces I'm not willing to untie. That is the one. But he said, so from what are you coming to do? Are you coming because first show me the fruits of repentance before you come to do it? And these same Pharisees, they came to Jesus. And they said, in what authority do you do all these things? You say all these things about God, your Father, and all these things, but who are you, Isaac? Who do you think you are? In what authority do you do that? Healing the disease. They said even that he was doing it by the power of Beelzebub, that is the worst demon that there is. So they were just saying that. And Jesus said to him, and now he is also saying, because they did not baptize, because they did not believe John the Baptist, they did not baptize. And Jesus asked him a question, and you should not sit here like a judge, judging these people what they will answer. But let this question be to you today. Because Jesus asked him something. Let us read it. Matthew, we will read a lot today. I will go fast so it will not be too long. Matthew 21, verse 23 to 27. Matthew 21, verse 23 to 27. And when he was come into the temple, are you there? Matthew 21, 23 to 27. And when he was come into the temple, that is Jesus, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him. And he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou do these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From who was it? From heaven or of man? That's the question to you. Is it from heaven or from man? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe him then? But if we will say of men, we will fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus is first asking a question that is vital to be understood. Is the baptism of water from heaven or is it from man? That is the real question here. That's the real question. So I hope you all agree that this water baptism that God gives as an ordinance to us, as a commandment to us, is a divine commandment of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So everybody must agree, I think. There's no excuse here. You cannot say it's from man, because even Jesus asked these people. He said, is it from heaven or from man? So this is really that should be done. Okay, let us read Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20. You all know these verses, but I want you to read it anyhow. Matthew 28, verse 1, 18 and 20. 18 till 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
This is what Jesus said. I will be with you until the end of the world. And he says, teach them that they will observe. And now I'm here teaching you that you should observe these commandments of God, which is a divine commandment. So I know God is with me and help me. So may we all agree that the baptism, the water baptism of John the Baptist and later on to the apostles is a commandment given from heaven. Is that what we can agree? Okay. So the second part is being a divine commandment, it ought to be kept and observed. So who should keep this commandment? Has anybody idea? I don't want to speak alone. Who should keep the commandment of Jesus Christ saying you must be baptized? Who should keep it? The whom? Have anybody an idea?
Me?
You as a Christian, yes. But what is a Christian anyhow? What does it mean to be a Christian? What is it? What is a Christian? Because President Bush also says that he is a Christian. And Barack Obama also. And we do not know. Do we know what a Christian, what it means to be a Christian? Because you can say it with your mouth. Confess it. You can come here on Sundays, but you cannot do two things. You are either a Christian or you are not. You cannot party Saturday evening and worship Sunday. There's no in between. This is really something. So what does it mean to be a Christian? It's that Christians is a correct answer, but I think we should split it in some details about Christians. So who should obey the commandment of Jesus Christ, of God the Father, of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, to observe this commandment of God to baptize? Who? What is it that brings us to it? Who should do it? No one? Okay. First of all, let us go back to John the Baptist. Who came to John the Baptist? Okay, let us read. Mark 1, verse 4 and 5. Mark 1, 4 and 5. And it reads, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized, were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So we can say, by repenting sinners. By repenting sinners. First of all, that is the one who should do this, if you repent your sin. Let us read Luke 5, verse 32. Luke 5, 32. So it says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is what Jesus comes to do in your life. He comes still to everybody who is his, and he calls you to repent. He calls you to repent. And repentance means, first of all, that you see who you are. What is your state? Are you righteous, like Jesus says, I did not come for the righteous, but he came for sinners. So first of all, repentance is a part, is acknowledging your sin. That is what the Baptist said. They were confessing their sins while they were being baptized. And confessing the sins is not to me. It's not to pastor. It's not to apostle. It's to God. It's acknowledging your sin to God. And a heart that is hating that sin that is in you. That is repentance. That you do not like what you have done. Neither do you like what you are or what you are doing, but that you want to change. For repentance is a turning around from what you were and what you will be. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is a requirement of Jesus Christ. And he says in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, hey, nay, listen, he tell you this, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So it is a requirement not only for baptism, but to be a Christian anyhow. You need to repent. So this is a requirement before you go to baptism. And I will come back to this later. Because this is very important. This is the reason I was young and I also decided not to baptize. I was baptized as a baby, but I knew very young that a baby baptism is not that what is being taught in the Bible. So I knew I needed to decide myself to be baptized. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is what I know. I know why I did not go, and I will tell you later why I did not want to go, and I think you in your heart will have the same reasons. But I want to warn you about these things. I want to warn you. Well, hallelujah. So the second persons who need to obey this commandment and to keep this commandment is by believers in Christ, those that believe in Christ. If I ask you all, who is Jesus Christ, I pray to God that you always say he's the Son of God. He's the Savior. The Christ. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I pray that is. So it is the believer in Christ. But believing is doing. Believing is doing. It is simple. You cannot say, I believe. If I tell you, if you take 100 apples and you take 50% off, you have 50 left. So you divide it by 2. Yeah? And you say, oh yeah, I believe you. And you get 100 apples and you say, divide it by 2 and you give 30 and the other one you give 70. Because you do not do what I said. You said I believe, but you do not do. So believing is really doing. That is it. Believing with your mouth is nothing. It's nothing. Amen.
Maybe understanding. Understanding.
Believing is understanding.
Yeah, I think you have to understand what you are believing.
Yes. Yes.
For
yeah.
Example.
Well, I truly believe that God will give you understanding, but what God does in every case is beyond our. He is higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways. So I sometimes read the Bible, and God does not allow me to understand what I read. I don't know if you have that, but God does not allow me now to understand what I read. Sometimes later, years later, I hear a preacher preaching about this thing, and God reveals it to me. I said, oh, that is what it means. So yes, believing is understanding, but believing is also following the footsteps of Christ Jesus, even though you have no idea what he is. Because you believe him. As a child, you as a father, you bring your children and say, come, don't be afraid, come. Nothing will hurt you. And they are not knowing exactly what will happen. But they come after you because they believe in me. Understand? So you have to follow after Christ, believing that all will be fine. So yes, understanding is true, but God doesn't allow always to us to be understanding. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, so believers. So we go to Mark 16, verse 16 and 17. Mark 16 and 17. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Mark 16, verse 16 and 17.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
They shall speak with new tongues. Amen.
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 So there was another example of Philip. And he hear the Holy Spirit and he says, run to this chariot because one person needs you. So Philip ran. And there was an Enoch from Ethiopia, was in that chariot. And he was reading Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? I said, how can I understand if no one tells me what it means? So he went in the chariot and he preached Jesus unto him. He preached Jesus unto him. And the next day or a day following, they were passing a river or a water. It says a water. And the eunuch asked him, what prevents me to be baptized? And then Philip said what? Do somebody remember what he said? It's famous words. You should know that. No one? No one knows what Philip said to him. If you believe with all your heart, you may, that Jesus is the Son of God, you may be baptized. So he said, belief is something that you must have. You cannot please God without faith. So a believing Christian is those that are the ones that need to keep the commandment of God by being baptized. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. 3. By the disciples of Jesus. By the disciples of Jesus. We have talked about disciples a lot this year. And also because it is fanning the Pentecost of fire to impact generations. And I think last year it was something with... What was the last year team? It was also something disciple to disciple.
Yeah.
Yeah, training disciples to disciple. So what is a disciple? Everybody
equip.
Should know.
Equip.
Yeah, equip. Yeah. What is a disciple?
Yeah, in Jesus' school. A learning.
A learning, yes. Somebody who learns from Christ. who wants to follow the same steps. Amen.
Amen.
So let us read John 4, verse 1 and 2. So John 4, verse 1 and 2. When therefore the Lord knew not now how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. And then there is a footnote, that is verse 2. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So he said, Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist. So he made disciples and then he baptized them. And Jesus himself was not doing it, but his disciples. So it's a little bit confusing. He's baptizing disciples, but the disciples himself are baptized. No, it is the 12 disciples who baptized, but they were first make disciples, followers of Christ. Followers of Christ. So here we see that you first become a disciple and then you follow. So you... What is a disciple? Is you need, if you have a master, you need to put your own opinion aside. So if you want to be a clockmaker, all your ideas of how to make a clock, you need to put it aside and watch the clockmaker make the clock and see how he does it and become like him before you can say, okay, I will advance this clock even. But first you need to set aside all your own opinion. And that has been said, you need to deny yourself. You need to stop thinking for yourself and first learn what he's doing. Jesus was baptized. You learn of him, you do the same. Jesus suffered, I tell you. All over the world, Christians are suffering. And I tell you, if you are true Christian, and confess Christ in every situation you are, you will be a victim of suffering. Because the world does not like if you do that. So suffering of Christ is something that you follow in. You shouldn't complain about it. It's normal for Christians. So this is what a disciple is. You are following Christ. That means that you deny yourself. Okay, let us think of another point, and that is some that need to be baptized are those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, the ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a beautiful example in Cornelius' house. Peter came to him. And he preached Jesus Christ to him. And while he was preaching, the whole house, everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were not baptized. But they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter said in Acts 10, verse 45 to 48. Go there. Acts 10, verse 45 to 48. So that is Peter talking about this thing that happened. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So these are the Jews. They were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray they him to tarry certain days. So he says, they are filled with the Holy Ghost. what prevents them to be baptized? So those that are filled with the Holy Ghost need to be baptized. It needs to be done. Amen.
Amen.
So another thing I want to speak about, so those are the people that need to do this ordinance. These are the people who need to be baptized. But I want to speak, out of what are you deciding? Out of your heart you have to decide. But what is it in you that decides that you want to be baptized? I can speak for myself, but I want you to think of it and say, what will motivate you inside of you to do this that God asked for you? Can anybody say this? Who's baptized? You are baptized. So what motivated you to be baptized? What was it? If you are not baptized, you are not a true Christian. Okay. Somebody else have another thing?
But that baptism is also a decision of repentance, that you have repent. So
yes.
if you say you have repent, then you have to be baptized. So because they baptize you into repentance. So if you're actually not baptized, then you're actually not a follower of Jesus Christ. Because the one who we are following was also baptized.
So for you, it was repentance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Baptism.
Nice. Yes. And you?
The faith you have in Jesus.
Faith. Amen. That's very good. Faith is pleasing to God. It's pleasing. If you have faith, it is pleasing to God. You believe Him. He asks you. He said, ask you. He asked also a certain king that had. But is it a disease, a very terrible disease? He asked, wash in this river. He said, that is too little for me, I will not wash in it. If that is the case, I should have washed when I was home. Ask a little thing. Out of faith. Out of faith. The man did not believe him, but his servant convinced him. I said, you are here, why don't you do it? He said, okay. I will do it. And his disease was gone. Out of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that out of faith, I also have it. That is very good. Out of repentance, that is also something that is very good. Has somebody else another motive? Why? Because this was my motive. But for me, it was out of love. It was out of love for Jesus. I loved him so much that he saved a wretch like me. Somebody who was so vile, so without God. He saved me. He really saved me. He blessed me so much that I did not deserve. Grace was all upon me. And all I can say, I said, I love you, Jesus. And if this one says to me, do what I say, I said, yes, of course, I will. So my motivation was love, out of love. So I pray God will also give you the love for him.
Amen.
When I was converted to be a Christian, I did not understand the three songs, but all the songs with the word Yesu in it, I love them. Just because of the name. Just because of the name I hear in the song, I said, it's about Jesus. It must be good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is whole love. Whole love. I feel love for him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Go to John 14, verse 15. This is Jesus saying something that is the act of love. The act of love.
John 14.
15. If you love me, who knows what the rest of the verse is? Out of head. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Amen. You keep my commandments. Okay, go to 1 John 5, verse 2 to 4. Or 2 and 3, sorry, 2 to and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. It's the same thing. For this is the love of God. This is the love. It's like a formula. Yeah, there's formulas in algebra. This is an is. Yeah. So F is, if you have the, I'm an optician. If you want the point where all the light comes through, it is 1 divided by the strength, and then you have the distance. It's 1. So the F is 1 divided by X. So that is the is, but there is an is there. And here is also an is, so it's a formula. So this is the love of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. What does it mean, not grievous? What does it mean, not grievous? What does it mean? That His commandments are not grievous. No one? You don't know what the word English word grievous means?
They're not tiring, they're not too much, they're not...
Yes, grievous is something that is ruining your life. If you say, this is too grievous for me, it is ruining my happiness, everything. It is the end of my life. And that is maybe something that needs to be said, because that is really that some people think here. If I will be baptized, it is the end of my life. It's too grievous for me. Okay, I'll go to the third part. So I'm sorry it takes long, but encouragement to keep this commandment. Okay, let us open John 14, verse 21. John 14, 21. Okay, it says, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. This is a promise of Jesus. If you have my commandments and keep them, he is the person that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And I will manifest myself unto him. These are all sweet promises to those that are following after him and just do what he asks. That are sweet promises. And this baptism, I do not know why you don't want to do it. Yeah, I know. But I say, I do not know. Because I want you to question yourself as well. Because bathing is pleasant. We bath. If we go home, we bath to feel rest, to clean ourselves, to get all the smells from our bodies. It's lekker. If we are in a hotel where it's a bath, everybody will enjoy it. Yeah? You go in and that. And Jesus says, this thing is not a grievous thing to do. It's not a hard thing to do. You just go and obey the commandment, and you go under in the water, and you are baptized. You go under in the water, you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you come up and you're alive. That's all. That's all. So it is not a difficult thing to do, but yet we do not do it. Think of the baptism that Christ did for our sin. I said, I have a baptism that you have no idea of what it means. He was put on a tree. He was crucified.
all his joints were taken apart. He had holes in his head. In the Bible says, if you are hanging on the tree, you are cursed. He was cursed for us. That was his baptism. Then our baptism is very easy or not. Just go under and go up. That is all we need. Think of his baptism, what he did. Why did he do that? So that you will not have to do it. He did it in your place. He did it instead of you. And he did it even before you loved him. He did it already for you. Is that not marvelous? And he asked only from us, be baptized. And now I want to talk a little bit what it means to be baptized. Because I really want you to understand what it means to be a Christian and to be baptized. What does it mean that you go under the water? What does it mean? And you will raise up again. Have anybody any idea what it means?
You are burying your sins.
You are burying your sins. Your sins are dead, gone. Going under in that water is going with Christ under the ground, and that the sin are no more. He said it is finished. It is gone. And you come out of it like Jesus Christ came out of the ground by himself, by the power that his Father has given him. He came out a new one, never to die again. Never to die again. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. So once you are baptized and believe it with all your heart that the old self is gone and you come out anew. Let us open your Bible to Romans 6. Romans 6, this will tell you exactly what it means to be baptized. Really, I want you to understand. I'm sorry that it becomes boring, but I hope you will also get some ideas what it means. Also, for those that are baptized, it needs to be remembered that what you have done is very special. Is a divine thing that you have done. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. What shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So when you go under, you go together with Christ into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If you are dead, your body of sin is dead, you are freed from it. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over him and over us as well, if we believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We continue. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God, and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You hear that? Sin has no dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Also open Galatians 3, 27 to 29. Galatians 3, 27 to 29. And it reads, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I pray you hear this, that you have ears to hear. Okay, I will go to my last point, and then I will finish here. 4. Count your costs and consider your war. I was reminiscing. I think we still have the books. Pastor and I make the book. The pastor gave me all the details about baptism, and he showed me where the baptism in all the places of the Bible, who should, what is it, and also is infant baptism good, or baptism in another name. All these things were done. And in the end, I remember not that any of you said, I want to be baptized. So I was shivering when I planned to speak to you. I was shivering. I said, is this time the same time that no one will say, I will be baptized? So I was thinking in my own head and said, what was me? What was I? Why did I not be baptized? Well, I knew it should have been done. So I want you to consider and count. And that is the reason why I did not be baptized when I was young. I counted what it will cost me. And Jesus is not willing that anybody of you will not think twice and sit down and consider what it will cost you to be his disciple. He wants you to really think hard and really know what it means to be a disciple of him. He doesn't want a blind follower of him. No, he wants somebody who sits still and thinks of it. And I sit still when I was young. And I said, okay, Saturdays I go to disco till 4 o'clock. That means I cannot go to church anyhow because I sleep. And it happened even once in a while that I did not even wake up on Sundays. But I wake up on Mondays. I considered this and I said it will cost me too much because that fun, that drinks, that girls, that the rest, I cannot have it anymore. And you are damn right. Really? You are right if you say that because it is over. And it should be over. And that is for all of you that are baptized.
Amen.
It should be over. It is not to be done anymore. And you know why. Because God has planted it in you. I don't have to tell you why. You know it. That you should not do these things. So I counted my things and said, that's the reason why I will not be baptized. So I give answers like, I don't understand it. I have to talk to my sister or my mother. I do not know yet. I don't know. But in my mind, I knew exactly why. And I believe you also, who are not baptized, know exactly why you don't do it. I'm just telling you. But I want to warn you, because I met all these things. I have to live with my conscience till this day of what I all have done wrong. All that you think that is nice in the world, the drinks, the alcohol, the women, the sex, everything. Yes? Let me tell you wrong things, yeah? All these things are not helping you. They are destroying you. They are destroying you. One on the 20 people that start drinking will be an alcoholic so much that he will destroy his whole families. One on the 20 that starts drinking will be so addicted that he will destroy his marriage, his children, everything. Alcohol is nice. Do it. 1 on 20. You think you can stand against it? You think that you are stronger? It's not like that. You have to consider the war you are facing. And Jesus wants you really to consider what you are facing if you are against God. Because remember, if you are willing to stay in the world, you are an enemy of God. An enemy. And you are not only an enemy, but you are in war with God. And I think God should not be your enemy. Why not? First, he is way too powerful. He can open every door. He created you all. He knows every single thought of you. You think you can stand against God? Who are you? But you, if you are willing to stay in the world, you are in enmity with God. That's what the Bible says. You are an enemy of God. So Jesus had many followers. There were many followers. And one time, it is written, and we will read it soon, he turned around and he turned to these people and said, if you really will follow me, think twice. And that is what Jesus also wants to tell you now. If you really want to be Christ, think twice. Consider really who you are facing. For you are in war. Either or you are at war with God, or you are at war with the devil. Can you stand the devil alone? This smooth, evil one? Can you stand him alone? Or can you stand against God? Either one of the two, is it? You cannot go to disco and party on Saturday and come here to worship God. You can't. Amen.
Amen.
So, let us read James. Let us read Luke 14, verse 25 till 35. Luke 14, 25 till 35. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoa.
Amen.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So that are very powerful words of Christ. But he explains himself. And whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and content, counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he had laid the foundation, and it is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And this mocking is still going on in Ghana. Yeah, they mock the people in Europe because they say, look, they started building and building. Even trees are growing in the foundation. I've seen it. The foundation is there, the walls are there, and a tree comes out of the roof. They were not able to finish it. It is in real life so, but it is also in Christianity so, that you have to count your cost. Can you build it? Okay, let's continue. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savior, whither shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor fit for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears, let him hear. It's very, very powerful words of Jesus Christ. Very powerful words. And he really wants you to consider. And the one from the Kings I love the most. I love this thing the most. Because we really think we are kings. If you are 13, 14, 16, we think no one tells me what to do. Doch? Are you not like that? Be honest. No one tells me what to do. If you tell me I have to go that way, I will show you I will go that way. Yes. You are kings. You are a king of your own life. You decide what will happen if you go this direction or that direction. It is you. It is the I that says, I will do what I want. But I will. You are the king. And Jesus said to you, consider, king. You are the king, huh? Consider this. You have a war. You have 10,000 people. And you are against a king with 20,000. What do you do? Are you going and be destroyed? Or are you willing to send in a message to seek peace? And this is it, what you are doing. You are willing to stay in the world, not taking this thing from you, not willing to give all up. But you are really saying by that, I will go to war with God. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. That story is so marvelous. He was the greatest king, I believe, that was ever lived. Not the wisest, that was Solomon, but the greatest, most powerful. He had a kingdom so wonderful, so great. And he was, when he just clipped with his eyes, people died. He was so powerful, this man. So he was on his rooftop, and he said, look at this, Babylon. I build this. I did this. Me. And Jesus, and God says, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, jongen toch. You are in war with me. And he let Nebuchadnezzar be like a beast. He had claws, hairs all over, like an insane maniac. He was running on the streets.
in the bush until a day after 7 years he opened the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar and he said, God, it's you who gave Gabriel. It is you who is in control of my life. It is you. So I plead with you, you are the king of yourself. You decide yourself. So if it is about baptism, don't ask your mother. Don't ask your father. Don't talk with a friend about it. Don't do that thing. It is you yourself that have to decide whether you do this commandment of God or not. Amen.
Amen.
It is you yourself. You are the king. Are you willing? And think of it twice, because if you become a Christian, you have another enemy, which is the devil. And the devil is so smart. He's so smart. He has sin in his hands. And sins are so sweet. They are so nice to do. And he has your friends in his hands. And they will come. Let's go. You always go, it's fun. You are so funny. Come, let's go. You can stand that. Can you face it alone? Or do you need the Holy Spirit in you? Do you need the ambassador, Jesus Christ, that talks and speaks for you? You need him so much. In any of the two wars, you need him. You need to plead your cause before God. He's the high priest that goes to God the throne and plead your cause. He said, I have given my own life for him. And he pleads your cause towards the devil. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I want you, dear people, I want to plead with you. This baptism is something that you do out of love, out of faith, out of repentance to God. This is what you have to do. It's just a question of God. Do it. Amen.
Amen.
This is it. We ask our Deacon Albert to pray. Have anybody questions? Have anybody something to contribute? Yes.
I would just like to say that look at your heart, Koma. I feel like when I was younger, the leaders always told us, get baptized, get baptized, get baptized. And I never listened until I felt it in my heart that, yes, it's time for me to get baptized. You know, we serve a living God. This is not a religion where we pray 5 times a day. It's not a routine. Act from your heart, Koma.
Amen.
And yeah, that's when everything just fall into place. So make it also come from your heart. There are no set rules. It's a thing
yes.
about God. That's
yeah. Yeah, we ask because we need to ask you. So we ask you. But this one needs to come from your heart. And it is also your own decision. That's what I want to force it on you, that it is you alone that does it. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Beloved, we have heard the word of God. Let's see, teachings from God